The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, I am back from vacation, had a great time in Vegas, and man, I get back from vacation, and this is a fantastic week one of football that we had. I mean, usually week one is very sloppy, but damn, we had some crazy-ass games this weekend, and let's just go ahead, and since I didn't discuss last week's games, let's go ahead and start it off with Thursday night football with how the season opened between my Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles. I was actually in Las Vegas for that, which was fantastic. I stayed at the Venetian, and if you've been to the Venetian, you usually get three TVs in your suite. And so yeah, I literally had all three TVs on in my suite. Ordered room service, had a great time, even though the Cowboys lost 24-20. Didn't give a shit. Had a fantastic time. It was great just sitting in, and yes, I was in Vegas just sitting in my suite watching the game by myself because that's how I prefer to watch games, completely alone, so I don't have to hear stupidity from all you other retarded fans who have nothing but dipshittery spewing from your mouth for the majority of the game. So I prefer to watch them by myself, and so it was fantastic having it on all three TVs. One of the TVs, of course, is in the bathroom too, so even if I take bathroom breaks, still on in the bathroom. So yeah, I had all three TVs with Cowboys on, smoking some weed, because that is another reason why I was in my room as well, so I could light up while I'm watching the game. But even though the Cowboys lost, you know, they really gave away the game with the George Pickens penalty. Because they were in scoring position, and they easily could have at least got 3 points on that drive, and instead ended up fumbling the ball right after the Pickens penalty, and then that set the Eagles up. But then they had a lightning delay, and I kind of feel like that slowed everything down. And the first half of the game was all offense. Second half of the game was all defense from both teams. And CeeDee Lamb had some drop passes, but you know what? I expect CeeDee Lamb to step it up and improve his game as the rest of the season goes on. I don't expect to see that happen regularly when we go CeeDee Lamb's way. But what I was most impressed with was Dak motherfucking Prescott. If Dak Prescott plays quarterback like that every single game this season, y'all better watch out. Because Dak looked poised. He was throwing darts. I mean, usually Dak's passes tend to fizzle out, especially he's not real good with the deep ball. It tends to fizzle out. Not this night against Philly. He was just delivering. We did not lose because of Dak. That is 100% not on Dak. That guy, if that's the way he's playing quarterback, dude's winning MVP, and we may have a real good shot at the Super Bowl. Now, I also like what I saw from the offense because, as I said, with all my early season predictions, I predicted the Cowboys' offense was going to do well. And what I saw, we finally have a running game. Offensive line looked pretty solid. Dak Prescott looked amazing. CeeDee Lamb, outside of the drops, looked great. George Pickens, outside of that stupid boneheaded penalty, he actually played pretty well. But, I mean, that's what you get with Pickens. Sometimes he's going to do boneheaded shit, but he's going to make some good plays for you. But finally having a ground attack is something I like. So I liked what I saw from the Cowboys. And then, of course, the Eagles were just the Eagles. Jalen Hurts was very difficult for the Cowboys to stop. Saquon Barkley, very difficult for the Cowboys to stop. First half, they were running all over the Cowboys. But, you know, that Cowboys defense actually stepped it up in the second half and played pretty solid. But they did lose to the Eagles 24-20, and that is how the season began. Then on Friday night, we had the Chiefs versus the Chargers, which was in Brazil. Let me just go ahead and talk about the game before I get to the gripe that has actually nothing to do with the game. So the Chargers actually chiefed the Chiefs because the Chargers were able to hold on to this win. They got the win 27-21. They actually held down the lead from the jump. Justin Herbert had an amazing game, 25 for 34, 318 yards, 3 touchdowns. But it was just absolute domination from the Chargers. But what I loved is that every time it kind of felt like the Chiefs were getting back into it, the Chargers were like, nah, you're not getting back into it. And towards the end of the game, when we started getting to around 3 minutes, and then the two-minute warning especially, I was like, you need to make sure you don't give the ball back to the Chiefs, and you need to chief the Chiefs, meaning you need to just run this motherfucking clock out and just take this win home. And that is what the Chargers actually did. Now let me get to my gripes. This game was on YouTube. Let's first start with, and I know I'm not in the minority in this because I've been reading, but the majority of us weren't really aware that this was on YouTube. Just general YouTube, if you went to YouTube, it was the first thing you saw there. But then also, too, it's like it's hard to get it on your TVs, which for me, I like to watch my games on TV. I know, I know it's really weird that I actually like to watch things on an actual TV, but that's how I watch shit. I do not watch shit on my phone. I hate watching shit on my phone, as a matter of fact. It is a pet peeve of mine is watching shit on my phone. I do not want to watch sporting events on my phone. I want to watch them on my big-ass motherfucking TV. So that was a problem right there for me and many other people. I actually have a friend of mine who works in a sports book. He's worked in sports books for a few years now. Guess what? A sports book. Now, I think we all would expect a sports book to have these games, right? Well, guess what? The sports book was even having issues getting this game coming up on YouTube. So, I didn't see the pregame because I was actually traveling on Friday. I was traveling back from Vegas this day. I actually happened to get home like right as the game was starting. I missed kind of like the beginning of the first quarter. I think I got there at the second quarter-ish. But anyways, so I didn't see any of the pregame, but I heard that the pregame was exceptionally terrible because they had a bunch of like influencers or a bunch of nobodies who none of us knew. And so that was an issue, but it sounds like it was a big resounding fail for the NFL and this whole collaboration with YouTube. So those were the big gripes with me with that specific game. I thought it was fantastic that the Chargers were actually able to beat the Chiefs and start the season off right. So let's get to Sunday's games. And we had some just crazy games. So let's start off with the Pittsburgh Steelers at the New York Jets. We just happened to get Aaron Rodgers' revenge game right out the gate because he was with the New York Jets the last two seasons. And Aaron Rodgers had himself a vintage Aaron Rodgers game. He went 22 for 30, 244 yards and 4 touchdowns in a Steelers win 34 to 32. This was back and forth from the jump. It was boom, boom. Every time somebody's getting the ball, somebody is scoring. You got long ass field goals. You got just so much amazingness going on in this game. But the Steelers were able to drive down the field, and their kicker was able to get a 60-yarder in there for the game winner, 34-32. And just a huge game from both teams, but the Steelers walked away with the win. Then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Atlanta Falcons, another crazy matchup where two teams were going back and forth from the jump. And went down to the wire, as a matter of fact. Younghoe Koo of the Falcons, he's not usually missing these, especially at home. And he missed the game-winning field goal to let the Buccaneers get this win 23-20. Baker Mayfield did exactly what Baker Mayfield do. He drove this team every time they were down. It was like, nah, here comes Bake. Boom, boom. More points to score. So this dude had a great game. Bijan Robinson had a great game. He had 6 receptions for 100 yards and a touchdown. And then Michael Penix Jr. was actually his first game he started of the season. 27 for 42, 298 yards and a passing touchdown. He also had an amazing rushing touchdown, which actually was very Michael Vick-esque, where he was falling down, but his knees had not hit the ground yet. He crosses the goal line, and they actually, it looked like it was a fumble, I believe. I could be wrong. I might be mistaking it with another one. But either way, they ended up calling it a touchdown in the end. And so Michael Penix Jr., he actually balled out in his first game, even though it was a loss. Then we had another crazy game between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cleveland Browns. Usually these are actually pretty crazy games because they're in-state rivals, you know? I mean, they face each other twice a year since they are in the same division as well. But still, I mean, it was back and forth, shockingly, because the Browns just have a terrible team. Other than Myles Garrett, this team is going to be struggling all season long. But the Bengals, they kept it right there. They basically only lost this game because their kicker missed an extra point, and then he also missed a field goal as well. So that did not help him. But the Bengals got the win 17-16. And like I said, it was just a back and forth affair. And, you know, Joe Flacco, he is right now the starting quarterback at the Cleveland Browns. And he went 31 for 45, 290 yards and a touchdown. So that's not bad for the old dude at the quarterback. Then we had the Miami Dolphins at the Indianapolis Colts, and the Colts went off. They got the win 33-8. Daniel Jones, this is his first game at quarterback with the Indianapolis Colts. You know, he'd been with the New York Giants for the past couple of seasons, and now here he is with the Colts getting the start. He went 22 for 29, 272 yards and a touchdown. And Taylor had 71 yards on the ground. Pittman had 80 yards and a touchdown. So just it was an all-around excellent day from the Colts. And the Miami Dolphins, I didn't expect much from this season. I really kind of expect them to struggle this season, and that's exactly what you got in this game, and I was not shocked at all. They were already yelling at each other on the sidelines, and that's just not what you want to see in week one. Then we had the Las Vegas Raiders at the New England Patriots, and this was a pretty close game, but for the most part, the Raiders held it down the whole way. They got the win 20-13. Geno Smith had a phenomenal game, 24 for 34, 362 yards, and a touchdown. Ashton Jeanty, he only had 38 yards, but he had a touchdown as well, but still, I mean, that's as long as you get in the end zone, that's all that matters, and that helped his team get the win. And it was just an all-around solid game from the Raiders. But you look at it, and this New England Patriots team, I really didn't expect much from them this season. For some odd reason, I think a lot of people thought they were going to have a decent season, I guess. But to me, I just looked at their roster, and I felt like this was going to be a struggle of a season for them. And I felt like this was a game they could have won and maybe should have won because they probably are not going to get a lot of wins along the way this season. Then we had the Arizona Cardinals at the New Orleans Saints. This actually ended up being another close matchup as well. But the Cardinals held it down the whole way. They got the win 20-13. As a matter of fact, Kyler Murray almost didn't play because he ended up getting sick before the game. And so he ended up playing, but it looked like it was going to be close there. But so maybe that's why they didn't score as many points as I expected them to score, just because I don't expect a lot from the Saints this year. They have basically nobody at quarterback, and it's just going to be a terrible year, I feel like, for the Saints. But the Cardinals got a win that they should get, 20-13. Then we had the New York Giants at the Washington Commanders. Commanders commanded this entire game. They got the win 21-6. This Giants offense looked atrocious. Russell Wilson, he was just running around. He looked like he had no idea where to throw this ball at all. And it just was a bad overall day from the New York Giants. Washington Commanders, they didn't like ball out, but hey, they got the win. And they dominated the whole way. They had this lead and never looked back. Daniels went 19 for 30, 233 yards and a touchdown. And Deebo Samuel, it was actually his first game as a Washington Commander. He had 77 receiving yards, but he also had a rushing touchdown on the day as well. Then we had the Carolina Panthers at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Actually, pretty solid day from the Jacksonville Jaguars. They got the win 26-10. Trevor Lawrence, 19 for 31, 178 yards and a touchdown. But the running back, ETN Jr., he had a huge day, went off for 143 yards. And I think it was more just, I don't want to say it was domination by the Jaguars. I just feel like it's going to take a minute for the Panthers to find their way. They are a young team. But the Jaguars did what they're supposed to do and got the win 26-10. Then we had the Tennessee Titans at the Denver Broncos. And the Broncos, shockingly, did not show out as well as I thought they would. But they got the win 20-12. Kind of just hung on to this one. It was pretty close for the most part in this one. And then the Broncos pulled away in the fourth quarter. Bo Nix had a pretty solid outing, 25 for 40, 176 yards and a touchdown. And Sutton had 61 receiving yards and a touchdown as well. And just solid win from the Denver Broncos. Then San Francisco 49ers at the Seattle Seahawks. The Niners just held on to this one. I don't know what was going on with them offensively in this one. It kind of felt like I know George Kittle got injured at one point in this game, which is not really shocking in a Kyle Shanahan offense. I think this is kind of what Debo Samuel's been griping about over the past couple of seasons. But basically, he tried running George Kittle, who's a tight end. So, I mean, I get it. You're trying to do something crazy, but, you know, George Kittle's getting up in there in years. And basically what happened was is they tried running him, and then he hurt his hamstring and did not come back the rest of the game. So is that going to be a problem for the rest of the season? Because a hamstring issue is probably going to knock Kittle out at least the next game. And then, of course, you got Christian McCaffrey, who was coming into this game with a calf injury. So, I don't know. Is that going to be the theme of the season for the 49ers? Maybe. But they did get the win 17-13. Brock Purdy had a phenomenal game, went 26 for 35, 277 yards and two touchdowns. But that Kittle injury to start the season was just, when I saw how he got injured, I was like, dude, Shanahan, you really got to learn that. I get it. His scheming, he really wants to use some dudes in certain roles because just how they can, you know, when you come up with different schemes, it becomes difficult to stop. But George Kittle is not Debo Samuel. He can't run and he's not elusive. And I just really think now they fucked George Kittle's season up because his hamstring is probably going to be bugging him. Even if he recovers from whatever the problem is, it's probably going to be a lingering issue all the way through the season because it's a hamstring. And, you know, you're running a lot and he's blocking and running and blocking and running. And yeah, I kind of think Kyle Shanahan just fucked up week one and did not look at the long run of the season. But hey, the Niners got the win over the Seahawks 17-13. Then we had the Detroit Lions at the Green Bay Packers, and this seemed to be the only runaway game of the day. The Packers held it down from start to finish. They got the win 27-13. They dominated on offense. They dominated on defense. You know, Jared Goff, even though he had a solid day numbers-wise, 31 for 39, 225 yards and a touchdown, it was a struggle for the Lions to actually score. They did not score a touchdown until the fourth quarter. So Josh Jacobs, though, he had a solid game for the Packers, 66 yards and a touchdown. But it was just not a good day for the Detroit Lions. But I mean, it's just week one, and I don't really expect them to look like that throughout the rest of the season. Then we had the Houston Texans at the Los Angeles Rams. This was a pretty solid defensive game. I mean, it was all defense all day. The Rams got the win 14-9. Matthew Stafford went 21 for 29, 245 yards and a touchdown. Kyren Williams went 66 yards and a touchdown. Puka Nacua had 130 yards. So it was an all-around excellent day for the Rams offensively. It was just a struggle for them to get down in the red zone because this Houston Texans defense was balling hard. But so was the Los Angeles Rams defense, and I just don't think the Houston Texans offense really expected that. And I did say I felt like the Houston Texans offense was going to struggle when it came to the ground attack. They're also struggling with the injuries to the wide receiver position, so it might take the Texans a minute to get it going. But the Rams came out the gate and got a solid win over the Houston Texans at home. But the game of the weekend was Sunday Night Football. Baltimore Ravens at the Buffalo Bills. Now, the Ravens were dominating this game all four quarters. And then magically, the Bills just started getting things going their way. They started scoring. They were getting the ball in good field position. I mean, Derrick Henry had a hell of a night. 169 yards, two touchdowns. But unfortunately, the big flaw for him was the one fumble he had, which set the Bills up in good field position to get them to score that second touchdown, in which they were able to get within 2 points of the Ravens. Then where I think the Ravens made another mistake was instead of going for it on that fourth and three, I know it would have set the Bills up in solid field position, but you got Josh Allen on the opposite end of this field here, man. And Josh Allen, by the way, his final stat line for the night, 33 for 46, 394 yards and two touchdowns. So that's what you got coming at you. That's why I felt like they should have just gone for it on the fourth and three. I know it's a big deal, fourth and three, but you got Lamar Jackson, you got Derrick Henry, you got Zay Flowers. Hell, you got Hopkins, who was making big plays last night. You got Andrews as well. I felt like they should have just gone for it on fourth and three, and chances are they probably would have made that first down and just walked off. Instead, they punted the ball Bills were able to get in field goal position, and they walk off and win it 41-40 in literally one of the craziest games of the night. It was literally back and forth, back and forth. Like I said, the Ravens were leading this charge all night long, but the Bills were there, and that's how the Bills ended up getting the win. And like I said, game of the weekend of week one. But I mean, it was a crazy week one. It was a great week one. And hey, we still have us a Monday night football game tonight. So Monday night football tonight is Minnesota Vikings at the Chicago Bears. So I think Chicago is going to do better than last year. I don't think Chicago is going to light everybody on fire, but I definitely think they've got a shot at being a wild card team. Minnesota, I think, is going to suck. I just don't really believe in J.J. McCarthy, and I just feel like there's a lot of questions remaining with this team until we see what happens with J.J. McCarthy. So since the Bears are at home, I'm leaning towards a Bears win. The Vikings are actually right now favored by 1.5, but I've got the Bears at home 24-16. And this is the fifth year in a row that me and my homie Simon Ruvalcaba, we're going to be doing our head-to-head matchups. He's lost 4 years straight, but good for him. He had a solid weekend to start it off in week one. This week I went 10-5, and he went 13-2. So he's got a nice solid lead up on me going into this game tonight. We both have picked different teams. He's got Minnesota. I've got Chicago. He's got Minnesota winning at 20-14. I've got Chicago winning at 24-16. But like I said, for me, Chicago, I just feel like they're a better team than last year. I think they've got a nice, solid coaching staff, and I feel like they're going to come in here and be one of those teams that just fucks some shit up for some people. Maybe not one of the best teams in the league, but I think they're going to be right there as a wild card team, whereas I think the Vikings just not going to be very good this year. But we'll see how it goes. It's only week one, and we had us a great week one, so it's going to be interesting to see if the Vikings and the Bears are able to keep it moving. All right, so let's get into baseball, and gotta say, when I was putting together my power rankings here, you know, since I was on vacation last week, when I'm on vacation, I literally unplug. Yes, I watched the Cowboys game, and I did watch a Yankees-Houston Astros game as well, because I just happened to be, like, in my room, smoking, chilling, just kind of wanted to relax for a little bit before I headed back out and kicked it on the strip a little bit. But for the most part, I did not pay attention to shit. And when I saw what's going on in baseball right now, I'm like, whoa, shit has flipped the script on a few teams, especially right now. So it's crazy when I was going over the stats. But let's get right into the top 10 MLB power rankings for this week. Like I said, I don't have a lot of knowledge on what happened this past week because I was just smoking a lot of weed, eating a lot of good food, and just enjoying myself on vacation. But I did do my research as best as I can, but I was shocked at some of the results here. So let's get started with number one is the Milwaukee Brewers back up in the top spot. They are just head and shoulders above everybody right now. Their record right now is 89-55, so they're going to be the first team to hit the 90 win mark, which is shocking. Who would have predicted the Brewers are going to be the first team to hit the 90 win mark? But they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Philadelphia Phillies, but took the series over the Pittsburgh Pirates. And this team's almost clinched a playoff spot. Their magic number, I believe, is 3 right now. So they are almost taking their division and doing it handedly. Then at number 2 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Philadelphia Phillies. Overall record of 83-60. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Milwaukee Brewers and took the series over the Miami Marlins. And they've been running away with things, but unfortunately for them, Trey Turner got injured this week, and Alec Baum got injured this week, and both of them are headed to the injured list. With Turner, it's looking like it's, I don't know when he's coming back. And that is not what you want to hear pre-playoff time, because Trey Turner's been having a phenomenal year offensively and defensively. Now, I will say the Phillies, they've had injuries bother them all season long. Hell, even suspensions bother them all season long. And every time they've been able to overcome. So let's see what happens without Trey Turner and Baum here for the next couple of weeks. Then number 3 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Detroit Tigers. Overall record of 82-62. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the New York Mets and lost a series to the Chicago White Sox. But with that being said, they have almost clinched a playoff spot themselves because they have such a huge lead in their division. They should be clinching their division any day now. Then number four on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Toronto Blue Jays, overall record of 82-61. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Cincinnati Reds, but lost the series to the New York Yankees. And they seem to be playing this really weird game lately where they're getting going, but then they fall apart. Getting going, then fall apart. But they still have the lead over the New York Yankees in the American League East. So they're still holding on to the division. But are they going to start falling apart here at the wrong time and lose the lead to the New York Yankees or maybe the Red Sox because they're still lingering there as well? Then at number five on my top 10 MLB power rankings is the Chicago Cubs. Overall record of 81-62. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Atlanta Braves, but lost the series to the Washington Nationals. And more bad news for the Chicago Cubs as well on the injury front. Kyle Tucker is now back on the injured list, and they've been suffering offensively lately just because of these injuries are starting to pile up on them. And they're another team, though, like the Phillies. They've been able to overcome it, but is that going to be a big problem for them once we hit the playoffs? Then at number six on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the New York Yankees, overall record of 80-63. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Houston Astros and the Toronto Blue Jays. You know, they are on a consistent little streak right now, but are they going to remain consistent? Are they going to be able to keep it moving and overtake the Toronto Blue Jays for the division? Is their pitching going to be able to handle this? Is their defense going to be able to hold up? Because that's still been a big issue. But I'll tell you what's not an issue, and that is them on the offensive side of the ball. Aaron Judge still balling uncontrollably. Bellinger having a fantastic year and getting it going as well offensively. Stanton having no issues offensively. Jazz having no issues offensively. This team offensively is nothing to fuck with. It's the defensive side of the ball that's the problem. So we'll see what happens here these last couple of weeks of baseball heading into the playoffs if the Yankees are able to overcome and overtake this division from the Blue Jays, because the Blue Jays aren't playing consistent baseball right now. Injuries are starting to bug them as well. And we'll see. It's going to be a battle for the American League East all the way till the last game of the season. Then at number seven on my top 10 MLB power rankings, a team that is falling. And this is who I was surprised by the most when I got back from my week in Vegas. And that is the Los Angeles Dodgers. Overall record of 79-64. And they are 3-7 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got swept by the Pittsburgh Pirates and almost got swept by the Baltimore Orioles. Were just able to save their asses yesterday. But basically, the only two players who are playing well right now are Ohtani and Yamamoto. Outside of those two, this Dodgers team is a crapshoot. They're unable to get it going offensively. Their pitching is getting blown up. Their bullpen is getting blown up. And they are just not looking good at all. And I don't think this team is going to make a playoff run. I know they've got a shit ton of talent, but they've got a lot of issues to cover up. And Ohtani and Yamamoto are only going to be able to save you for so long. So I'm here for this fall from the Dodgers, but I still expect them to take the division. Then at number eight on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Boston Red Sox, overall record of 79-65. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Cleveland Guardians, but lost the series to the Arizona Diamondbacks. And the issue with the Boston Red Sox is their starting pitching is just falling apart at the end of the games. They get it going. They're able to get it going offensively. I mean, there are zero issues with the Red Sox offensively. And hell, even on the defensive side of the ball, they're doing pretty solid, but it's their starting pitching that is just getting blown up and falling apart at the end of games, and that's kind of what I feel like is going to be their downfall as the season wears on here once we get towards the playoffs. I feel like they're a team that's probably going to be a wild card team, especially with just what's going on in the American League right now, but that starting pitching is probably going to be their Achilles heel, that what kills them in the end. Then at number nine on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Houston Astros, overall record of 78-66. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the New York Yankees and lost a series to the Texas Rangers as well. And this team is actually having issues scoring now. It wasn't an issue when you thought once getting Yordan back that they were going to have zero issues. But man, Yordan's about the only one performing offensively. Everybody else has just gone ice cold, and they're just not able to perform. And getting getting these losses against the Yankees and the Rangers is a big deal, especially heading into the playoffs. But they still have their grip on the American League Central, and I still expect them to have their grip on the American League Central once we head towards the playoffs. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week, I have the San Diego Padres, overall record of 78-65. They're 3-7 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the Baltimore Orioles, but took the series over the Colorado Rockies. This is another team that's been battling through injuries, and the good news for them is they get starting pitcher Michael King back this week. So that's definitely going to bolster the starting pitching, which they really need. But this is another team that's had their ups and downs, and I just feel like right now it's a down time for the Padres. I don't think they're going to be able to catch the Dodgers, even though the Dodgers have been having so many issues. But it feels like every time the Dodgers are falling apart, that's when the Padres are falling apart. Then once the Dodgers put it together, that's when the Padres put it together. And so that's why I feel like the Dodgers are still going to win the division, but the Padres are definitely going to be right on their ass all the way till the very end of the season. All right, y'all. Enjoy the rest of the week of sports. And now that it's football season, we are going to have Wednesday episodes because I'm going to be doing my top 10 NFL power rankings. And we're going to be touching on the college football rankings as well every Wednesday. So look forward to Wednesday shows every single week now. So enjoy the rest of the week of sports. And I will talk to y'all on Wednesday.